Hey everybody, it's Nobody Likes Casey McClain, a day late. Why do I hear, I can hear air conditioning in my headphones, but you're dealing with it. I think it's from my daughter's bedroom. stand-up dates, do I have any? Very few, imminently. I was trying to be a good husband and father the last part of the summer. My wife is a teacher, and my schedule is pretty light for the next couple weeks. And we'll be back into it in September and October and November and all the months that follow until probably next summer. I think I'm going to try to do August as my light comedy month for the year. My daughter's birthday starts the month. My wife's always stressed out about going back to school. Man, I gotta, Do Not Disturb feature on your iPhone might be the most beneficial thing since camera phones. I'm just getting blasted with texts. I almost called them textas, which I used to know a guy that called textas. Anyway, I'll be in Post Falls, Idaho, on September 17th is the next time I'm on the road. I'm going to, in the coming months, going to Fort Wayne, Indiana. Hopefully there will not be snow out there. Hopefully it'll be warm enough that I could still golf out there. I'll be in Bellingham, Washington with my pals Alex Kaufman, Gabriel Rutledge next week. You can't go. It's at Alex's parents'. God, what am I doing? So it was my sister's wedding. I talked about that quite a bit. One of the things that I talked about with someone is that for a couple years, people were prescribing you CBD for everything. Every jackass college dropout was prescribing you CBD to solve every single problem in your life. And I bought in. Folks, I bought some Charlotte's Web CBD, and I actually do think there's benefits, but one thing I noticed as I started stuttering a lot, maybe it wasn't the CBD, though. I golfed with my friend Jess Everett, one of these pieces of shit that prescribes. This guy has multiple sclerosis, and so he's on kind of a specific diet to minimize the effects of multiple sclerosis. And this is what happens when anybody fucking learns anything about nutrition or exercise or anything, is that he said, I want to set you up with a nutrition plan. I'm not sure that Jess Everett graduated high school, okay? Jess Everett might not be able to graduate a comedy class reliably. And this dude wants to give me nutrition advice because some fucking doctor told him how he should eat. He also famously in my life claims that broccoli is not a real vegetable, which is just one of the most insane opinions I've ever heard in my life. We did golf yesterday. I shot a 97, but more importantly, 97, not my best score, though I have been consistently breaking 100. I did not break 100 until we were in Spokane, Jess and I. That was the first time I broke 100. I've now done it 4 times. With a big COVID break in the middle. But yesterday I had my two longest drives of my life. I drove a ball, by the way, these are both very obviously hill aided and probably wind aided. Although one, my app said I was shooting into the wind, which I have my doubts based on the length. But so one of them is this par 4, where I put this ball so far left and it hit a tree, but it didn't hit it solid. I searched for this ball for 5 minutes and I was about to drop and hit another one. And one of the guys we were golfing with is like, hey, is that your ball right there? And I went and looked and I did the GPS back to the tee and it was 313 yards. Now, flat ground, no wind, I'm probably topping out at 267, 265. 270. I might be able to get 270 on a perfect strike. So big steep hill, that it went down. That's why I couldn't find it also, is because it had gone down this big steep hill. And then another one, kind of similar circumstance, where we were at, what's that course called? We should have fucking filmed, but we didn't end up filming. Madrona, Gig Harbor, Washington. Madrona Golf Links, I think it's called. And there's a hole on the back nine that's like a very severe, it's like elevated tee box, and then the fairway just all slants to the left. Unless you can clear, there's like kind of a ravine, and if you can clear that ravine, it gets a little bit flatter. And I hit probably my only long straight drive of the day, because the other long one was not straight. It ended up being in short grass, but it was certainly not fairway. And yeah, I hit that one. I think it was like 288 or something like that. Supposedly into the wind and like perfect location. And then I think I still fucking double bogeyed that hole. So goddamn annoying. Anyway, go check out Road Hacks on YouTube. Look up Road Hacks Golf. That's the golf channel I'm trying to justify. It's, if I can call it a business expense, it's a lot easier to tell my wife I'm going golfing, you know? So if I could make a little bit of money, that would be nice. So I guess what we're going to talk about today is, because I don't have a guest, is this Julio Rodriguez contract, because I'm a Mariners fan. Julio Rodriguez is a guy who I've been aware of since he was, I think, 16 years old, one of the top prospects in the system, in the Mariners farm system, for a very long time. I will say this. By the way, I kind of like admitting to when I've been wrong. I was infinitely wrong on Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson ended up being great in Seattle. The city turned on him in a strange way after he left. Not in the same way that, like, I got into a discussion with some folks about Russell Wilson's place in his legacy in Seattle. And I think it's not even, it's Griffey. He's the Seahawks Griffey. They should build a statue outside of whatever they're calling that field now, Lumen Field. He's the most important player in the history of the Seahawks. There's no doubt in my mind. You can dislike the way he handled his departure from Seattle. I understand that. You can, you could think that he was a little bit phony and a politician. By the way, Griffey was pretty withholding. I think what's happened is we've forgotten all the shit about Griffey that was enigmatic and frustrating, because we love him so much, and because he came back, and it was, when he came back with Cincinnati, it was all fucking fanfare. I went to the games, I fucking cried in a stadium full of 47,000 people. I cried. And we forget that Griffey was like, did not always get along with the media very well, was pretty private, was, by the way, I actually do think Griffey was, I remember hearing stories about kind of unadvertised philanthropy. But Russell Wilson is this dude who brought a championship to Seattle, who owns every meaningful passing record in Seattle, who was the quarterback of the team through the team's most successful stretch in history, who revolutionized the quarterback position, frankly, and guys like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray owe Russell Wilson millions of dollars, if you ask me. These guys would be third-round picks, probably, if it wasn't for Russell Wilson's success. By the way, maybe they should have been. But this dude is a fucking giant in Seattle. Not stature-wise, obviously, but ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. Ha-ha-ha. I heard you make that joke in your fucking car. Or your, on the treadmill, or while you were making love to your partner of unknown gender. Yeah, that dude is like, I have no qualms about calling him Griffey, and that is with the utmost reverence for Ken Griffey Jr. If I have another child, and it's a masculine child, we will be naming that child Griffey. I love Griffey. I think he's one, never a guy that got into like trouble off the field. Played the game, had a lot of fun. Also kind of revolutionized the way all of baseball looked at baseball. It was no longer, and I kind of feel this way about golf, by the way. I'm sick of this fucking stuffy etiquette stuff, this like rich old guy stuff that people think is important. I don't give a fuck. I don't do it, but like people play music on the course. I don't care about that. People smoke weed on the course. I don't care about that. People are taking shots out of order. I am up to my ball and hitting. I don't give a shit. I'm just trying not to get hit by your ball. But my view is, yeah, take your fucking shot. Take it. We did have a pace of play issue yesterday where we... I think the first time since I've started playing where we actually let someone play through. I got asked to play through a couple months ago, and I did not play through, and I regretted it because I needed to play through. But anyway, Julio Rodriguez, 14 years. I keep seeing, by the way, by the time this podcast comes out, which is going to be today as I record it, I've seen the number change from $450 million to $470 million as the maximum for the contract. 14 years, $210 million. There's opt-outs, there's club options, there's player options, there's incentives, there's all kinds of shit. And what I would say is, if it's $470 million, this dude is 21 years old. By the way, I've also seen suggestions that options could make the contract up to 20 years long. It's a wild contract, it seems like. But this is so... it's great for the Mariners because this is the... so it's a classic dad joke about the Mariners and any baseball team. Is anytime a good player is coming around, they go, well, man, he's going to look great in a Yankees uniform in a couple of years. And what this does is it gives the Mariners at least some control over whether or not Julio joins the Yankees when he becomes a free agent, if he becomes a free agent. And also, this is a dude, I was talking to my friend about Josh Firestein, San Diego Padres fan. We talked to him a couple weeks ago. We, meaning me and you, together we talked to him. You were very quiet, I gotta say. But Fernando Tatis Jr. has tested positive for PEDs. He's going to miss the rest of the year. He had not played this year to this point. He was coming off an injury. And he's 23 years old, I think. And he signed, it's like 14 years, $330 million, something like that. And that seems like a lot, but by Fangraphs... war value, wins above replacement value, Fernando Tatis has been worth $108 million in on-field production. And to this point in salary, the Padres have spent about $6 million on him, and they also gave him a $10 million signing bonus when he signed that contract. So he has exceeded that value by a lot, and he doesn't have to stay at this star level to make that money worth it, to make it a break-even proposition. And it's really rare that guys start out as strongly with the supporting metrics as Fernando Tatis Jr., as Julio Rodriguez, and don't remain pretty good players for quite a while. So, one, to if it's $210 million, and having the performance incentives feels like the Mariners are exploiting Julio Rodriguez almost, because when they put performance incentives in to contracts, almost always the value of those incentives is exceeded by the value of the production. So they'll pay a guy $5 million to do something. They have to do, they can't do wins above replacement, but they do like counting stats, right? Like, I think it's like so many plate appearances, so many, they might not even be able to do, there might be money like per home run or something like that, but it, played appearances, games played, shit like that. Yeah, that means usually the team is getting something good. If they have to pay that extra money, it's been worth it, basically. Also, the Seahawks. So, we're done with Julio Rodriguez. He's very good. He's going to be the first Mariner. He, I think, became the first Mariner ever as a rookie to have a 2020 home run stolen base season. He walks enough. Strikeouts are low enough. He's, you know, super toolsy, very good player. Probably isn't going to stick in center field forever, but very good player. I'm in favor of the deal. That's what I'm saying. I'm happy about the deal. Keep Julio in Seattle. The Seahawks quarterback situation remains in flux. Speaking of Russell Wilson, they have Drew Locke, Geno Smith, Jacob Eason on the roster. It seems like Jimmy Garoppolo is going to probably get cut on August 30th when the rosters have to trim down from, I think it's 70 to 53 players. Sam Darnold is probably available in trade. There's probably a couple other guys who, for the right price, you could get in trade. If you wanted to spend a lot, Tyler Huntley in Baltimore, Gardner Minshew. But I don't think you want to spend the amount it would take to pry a quality backup away from a team if you're the Seahawks this year. The Seahawks are probably not going to be good this year. There's some amount of optimism in my mind that they could be surprising, because I think what they're going to do is really simplify the game. And if Pete Carroll knows how to do anything, it's to use the running game to control the clock and grind games out. It's not the most exciting brand of football, but it's something they did early in Russell Wilson's career, and it's something they could very theoretically do again. So I suspect, I've been saying it for weeks, but my suspicion is that neither Geno Smith or Drew Locke are going to be the 2022 starters when it's all said and done. I think if Jimmy Garoppolo would be interesting. He was my preferred guy. By the way, this is the first time the Seahawks have done something in a long time where I was fully on board with how they handled it. The way they handled their quarterback situation in 2022's offseason. Chef's kiss. Very much enjoy it. Because I don't really think, like, the Deshaun Watson situation, for as many problems as that guy has, the drama that trading for him has created in Cleveland, the amount of draft picks you had to give up, and the amount of money you had to give him, not worth it, in my opinion. Now, the Baker Mayfield sweepstakes, I wanted the Seahawks to be in on that. I'm probably happy they aren't paying him what... I actually kind of prefer Jimmy Garoppolo to Baker Mayfield. I'm glad they didn't overdraft a QB. It seems like the guy I wanted them to draft, by the way, Matt Corral, got a Liz Frank injury on his foot, and he's out for the year. Same injury, by the way, that Chet Holmgren got. And every time I see Chet Holmgren, who's 7 feet tall and about 14 pounds, I think of how polar opposites in body type he and Mike Holmgren are. LeBron, by the way, responsible for Chet Holmgren's, I think it is a, it might be a Liz Frank or it's something, but he's going to miss the entire 2022-2023 season. And he's an Oklahoma City Thunder draft pick, and it makes me, listen, I actually like, I don't ever root against Gonzaga guys in the NBA. A lot of times, by the way, they're not actually that local to me. Spokane is pretty local, but I think Chet Holmgren's from like Minnesota. They recruit they recruit out of state there. God, do they crush the Washington Huskies in recruiting or what? Anyway, I'm happy. I also thought it looked like there were going to be more quarterbacks available than there were teams looking for a quarterback, and I think I was right, because ultimately, you've got two people recently considered starting caliber, Jimmy Garoppolo and Sam Darnold, for one spot, which is Seattle. I guess Atlanta's a potential place for one of those guys to land if they... But they also drafted Desmond Ridder, so there's not really necessarily an obvious spot for one of those guys to go that's like a long-term place. Seattle could be that place. And they're going to get a guy for a lot less expensive than they would have if they had done it at the beginning of the offseason. Of course, you'd like to them to have had a full offseason with that quarterback, but hopefully Jimmy Garoppolo, if the Seahawks do sign him, can pick the offense up pretty quickly. I don't think I have anything more to say. I wanted to make sure to get something out this week because I hate missing weeks, but thank you for listening to this podcast. Follow me at the Casey McClain, all social media platforms. Find Road Hacks. I'll be putting out a new episode probably next week with my pal Aaron Wright and I playing in Kentucky. Thank you for listening to this podcast, and I'll talk to you later.